It's Super Bowl Sunday.
Super Bowl here Sunday. In the Sunday.
The doghouse.
Yeah, the doghouse.
We bit the dogs, and they ran away, and now we live in the doghouse.
Who are you going for in the old
Super I don't know. Bowl I thought XXL. I never really. I feel like football is always one of those things where I tell myself, maybe this season I'll sit down and watch a game. You know, maybe I'll get into it, and then I forget about all of it until it's time for the Super Bowl, which is exactly like, what happened this time.
I'm not dumb, so I just won't watch it.
Yeah, although I think it's been a while since the Eagles went, so I'm sure someone's excited.
I'm sure someone's excited.
Somewhere, just not here.
Out there. Yeah. Not me.
Not you?
No. I'm doing something else.
What are you doing?
This. Yeah, I'm doing this instead. Yeah.
But if we didn't have this, would you be rooting for a team?
No. I would find something else to do. I wouldn't be watching the Super Bowl. I think I've maybe only knitting, watched
knitting, crocheting.
Yeah, I'd probably be doing a little bit of crocheting. I think I've actually only watched the Super Bowl twice in my life.
Well, and I remember I felt pressured to watch it in school because I knew that all the other kids would be talking about it, and I didn't want to feel left out. Yeah, you know, when you're a kid, it's
talk
like
about on Monday.
Think of all the stupid shit you did as a kid that you participated in just because you didn't want to be left out.
Pokemon for me, that was a big one.
Well, that's a treasured childhood memory for me. So,
see, for me, it was
Tamagotchis was stupid. I never really liked Beyblades. I never got into Beyblades.
Well, that's the thing. I only got into it because my friend was into it, and I was like, I'll be an idiot if I don't purchase these stupid plastic toys and throw them at each other.
Yeah, basically. When I was a kid, it was Pokemon, Tamagotchis, and Yu-Gi-Oh cards. And I always cheated at Yu-Gi-Oh.
Near the dark magic of Yu-Gi-Oh.
I think I gave my little brother an inferiority complex because he never won at Yu-Gi-Oh, and he couldn't figure out why. And I feel bad because it's probably because the rules were never the same twice in a row.
Yeah. Well.
Anyways, you got some fancy new equipment.
Fancy, yeah, man. I'm working with a nice mic boom arm type thing here.
Is that what it is, boom arm?
Yeah, that's what I typed into Amazon to find it. at least, yeah, it's pretty, it's
yeah,
right.
we've been using these tripods,
tripods,
but now he's got himself,
I don't know, I might return.
The other one didn't properly,
no,
the order didn't properly come through, so
no, it did not. But I mean, this one's it's a step up from the tripod, but
we're moving along,
yeah,
we're
moving along,
we're going pro, gang. We auditioned for the judges, and we're headed to Hollywood.
Mm-hmm. Catch us on the silver screen.
So do you have any predictions for the Super Bowl?
I mean, honestly, I don't even know that much about football in general. I do know that the Patriots are a good team because they have been in the Super Bowl a lot. And
you mean,
everybody
they're usually
Tom Brady,
a good team.
So he's got to be doing something right if everybody hates him. I hate him. I don't even know him. I hate him.
Everybody hates a winner.
He's kind of douchey.
Yeah, for sure.
But if I was to predict what is going to happen tonight, I'm going to say they're going to throw the old pigskin around. There's going to be some catches, some throws, some tosses. Maybe
that
a
sounds
fumble
about right.
In there. I think there might be a couple of big points scored by some of the teams. And I think we're going to have a winner.
That does sound like every football game ever. So
I mean, I'm just predicting based on what I know, which is very limited. So
I have a question. How do the New England Patriots, they don't have a city that they're based out of, right? They don't have, like, Philadelphia.
I mean, I think they play around Boston, but, yeah, no, they don't have a select city. I mean, obviously. Like,
I think the fans are just kind of scattered.
Yeah, so.
And you can bet that Philadelphia is going to be a party.
Oh,
tonight.
Dude, I think Philadelphia is going to be insane. I was reading something like they're greasing up light posts. So people don't, like, climb on them or try and topple them over. I think Philadelphia gets kind of wrecked. Like, the city itself gets kind of wrecked because the Eagles fans are, I think, quite
strong. They're a passionate group.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of history in Philadelphia.
They love them Eagles, baby. Fly, Eagles fly.
Yeah.
I think.
The question is, who's more patriotic, the Patriots or the Eagles? I don't know.
That's a tough question. Based on the name alone, I'm going to have to go with the Patriots.
I disagree. I mean, the Eagle is the symbol of America. Every country has patriots.
But every country has also used an eagle at some point, pretty much. I mean, the German eagle. Like, eagle is not uniquely American. So
how dare you?
Also, I apologize if I'm offending any true patriots out there.
This podcast is over.
Yeah. But I mean, I don't know. It just, yeah, whatever.
You're a monster.
I am a monster. But speaking of monsters, let's get out of this Super Bowl talk. And let's talk about something that really, really matters.
You know them.
Something that affects
you love them.
Everyone.
They dwell in the depths.
Yeah. Sea monsters.
Baby. Sea monsters. Sea monster, baby. Serpents.
Mm-hmm.
There's so many names.
There's a lot. There's a lot of bad boys out there.
Oh, yeah.
Let's talk about a few of them.
Let's do.
Yeah. All right.
What do you think of when you hear the word sea monster?
I mean, honestly, the first one that comes to mind is the Loch Ness Monster. That's just, it's become the most popular. It's,
yeah. Well, when I think of sea, I think of the oceans. I don't necessarily think of the Loch Ness Monster.
I know, but I mean, technically,
it is a water. It's an aquatic creature.
Yeah, you know? I mean, just when I think sea monster, I still think of it, like whether or not it's technically a sea monster or anything. That's what I think of.
Yeah, I think of...
That's clearly the most famous sea monster. I mean...
Yeah, probably.
Everybody knows the Loch Ness Monster. Oh, speaking of which, I actually want to tell you something.
You saw the Loch Ness Monster, didn't you?
I hope to see it. I just found out I'm going to Europe this summer. I'm going to the UK, and I'll be going to Scotland. Just the trip. My family enjoys taking trips, and the whole family hasn't been together for a while, and I think we're going to get my entire family to go on this big trip to Europe, and we're going to Scotland, and we're going to Loch Ness.
So what's your entire family? Just your immediate family? Like
yeah,
siblings,
I mean, just,
parents?
I don't have cousins or aunts and uncles, anything like that.
It's an isolated family
unit.
Yeah,
pretty small family. So it's just siblings and now, like, in-laws. I have a brother-in-law and all that, so we're all going to get together, and we're going to, you know, one last hurrah, I guess, before...
And I assume you're taking the missus.
I am taking the missus. The missus is going, so it'll be a good time. It'll be her first time. No, I was going to say her first time out of the country, but it's not. And not mine either, but I just found out we're going to Loch Ness, and that's exciting. So.
And that's cool.
Yeah.
Take some scuba gear.
Yeah, will do. I'll take some pictures. You know, I'll make sure to bring my my upturned boat or, you know, plastic fake Nessie. Take some old school.
Yeah, if you can't find the Loch Ness Monster, just be the Loch Ness Monster.
Yeah, exactly. So
you get to try all kinds of scotch.
I would like to. I would want to see the Lagavulin distillery, I guess,
yeah.
Where they go to in Parks and Rec. That would be cool. But
yeah.
I don't know. I just thought I'd bring that up because of the Loch Ness. But what do you think of, I guess, since we apparently differ in opinion? What do you think
of?
Well,
I think of, you know, when you're in school, I think it's a common thing, but for me, we read The Odyssey when I was in high school, and I think of Scylla and Charybdis.
Mm. Oh, those are the ones that are on the opposite sides, right, of the
strait? The strait, which is now believed to be the Strait of Messina.
Mm-hmm.
An actual place. They're supposed to be like siblings. The story goes in the Odyssey. Obviously, Odysseus is just kind of jamming across Europe, mm-hmm. around like up and down the coast. He's
doing
coasting, and he's gonna head that way. And the witch, I guess her name is Circe.
Mm.
I don't. Yeah. She basically warns him. When you go through this strait, you're going to encounter two monsters. There's Scylla, who... There's many different ways that she's depicted. I think the most popular one is that she's basically just, like, six or seven different reptilian heads.
Like serpent type.
Yeah, thing. Like serpent heads. And she just kind of hangs out on top of, you know, one of the cliffs on the strait. And... just jumps down at the boats, or her heads go down the boats, and they strike, and every time she takes six dudes, because she's got six heads.
Six heads, yeah.
On the other side of the strait is Charybdis,
who is a whirlpool, right?
It's now been rationalized to have been a whirlpool that actually exists
mm-hmm.
In the Strait of Messina, but in mythology, it's basically described as like this weird, like bladdery fin monster with a gigantic mouth that basically sucks up the ocean and spits it back out, and that's what creates the whirlpool.
Yeah, and I think that's a lot of sea monsters of ancient lore have been kind of, people have been speculating, oh, it's probably just a whirlpool that they kind of imagined into this monster.
And I don't know what, I mean, if you're rationalizing, I don't know what Scylla could have been.
I heard that she was just inspired by kind of the look of some of these tall rocks on the side of this cliff.
Mm.
I think maybe just like, oh, look, there's six long. It could be that.
I think it could also be that maybe someone lived near that cliff, or because one of the ways the strait is described is that the two sides are within arrow shot of each other.
Mm.
So maybe whoever lived there was shooting down arrows and killing dudes.
Yeah.
And maybe that was like the equivalent of something striking down fast and killing. I don't know, but
could be.
Anyhow, on his first trip through, Odysseus picks Scylla because it's better to lose six sailors than to just be pulled to the bottom of the ocean.
You're all going
to
lose against the whirlpool monster.
Yeah. Those are the sea monsters I like best, though, are the ones who can just like swallow everything whole, pretty much.
Like the Kraken. Something like that.
They can just those are the most impressive.
Yeah.
We'll get to the Kraken for sure.
The big badasses.
There's just so many. It's such a common, I think maybe it comes from just the fact that the sea is so unexplored compared to, or at least it was. Even now it's really unexplored, but especially then it was this vast, powerful force that mankind just didn't have any kind of bearing over compared to what they had achieved on land.
Yeah, and I mean, yeah, like you're right, today it's still extremely unexplored. According to the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration.
Oh, wow. That's a long name. They must know their shit.
Yeah, they do. They've got an acronym and everything. They've estimated that 95% of the ocean is unexplored, and 99% of the seafloor is also unexplored.
So, wow.
I mean, that's a lot.
Yeah, who knows
and
what's down there.
The ocean takes up, 70% of our Earth.
75,
so
yeah.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of stuff out there that we don't know about for sure. So
it'll be cool when they finally, either it'll be cool or they're going to wake up, you know, Godzilla or something.
Yeah, they're gonna find something they weren't looking for.
Yeah, I mean, we all know anything with a scarce food source, you know, if times are tough with the food, it might go into hibernation, and then who knows?
Then
who knows
gets
how long?
Woken up by nuclear power, and it's like, all right,
yeah, nuclear power indeed.
I'm going to destroy Tokyo now. So,
yes,
yeah, but the biggest, I think, at least this is the biggest sea monster that I came across, because as you were saying, the biggest are usually the most badass. The biggest one is actually kind of ties in a little bit to what we've been talking about in two recent episodes, the Jormungandr. I believe I'm pronouncing that correctly.
Well, yeah, if it's a J, so it's probably Jormungandr. Yeah, I'd like to just call it Jormungandr.
Yeah, it doesn't really matter, also known as the Midgard Serpent, if you...
the one that I mentioned in our first Volsung's Lore Hour episode called the Midgard's Worm in the text, but its official highfalutin name is Jormungandr.
Yeah, but it's a big boy. He's son. It's the child of Loki and
a giantess,
like a big lady. They just had like, I don't even know how that happens, but you know, do your own thing, and you know, thus
maybe he's a big boy where it counts. I don't know.
So big guy. He's in the lore. He's cast into the ocean, and he's so big that he surrounds the entire Earth.
He encircles the Earth,
and he holds his own tail in his mouth. That's how big he is.
Right, like an Ouroboros, which is that symbol of the snake with its tail in its mouth, the symbol of infinity.
Yeah, cycles.
Forever going around in circles.
All that good stuff.
Yeah, and that lore is that he's one of the symbols of one of the sort of the omens of Ragnarok. When he unbites his own tail, that's when it kicks off.
Yeah.
And in the lore, he's going to face down with Thor, and Thor's going to kill the worm first, but he will be poisoned by its venom and die like... It says he's going to like walk 9 steps and then fall dead.
So that's some powerful venom.
That's a common thing too, is sea monsters breathing venom or poison. I found that was a common thing that I came across a lot.
Yeah, it was. I would have thought it would have been much more just like chomps, you know, but there's a lot more poison and even some fire out there, which is strange for a sea monster.
For sure.
But I don't know, I thought that was really cool. I didn't know. I've heard of Jormungandr or the Midgard Serpent, but I did not know that it was one of the, I guess, the forebears of the end of the world. I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah, the end of man and gods.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, speaking of, who are you?
Who am I? I'm Krusty, man. What do you think?
You're still Krusty?
I'm Krusty, dude.
He really took a liking to the name Krusty.
Yeah, I mean, better than what my parents gave me, so. Krusty it is.
Krusty, Krusty.
Krusty, Krusty. Krusty and JR coming at you live.
Junior, well, JR.
Pre-recorded.
So. I have many names.
Yeah, the man of many names.
I have many identities, mm-hmm. which I...
He wears many hats. And the ones that we are wearing right now is that of Gracious Hosts.
Yes. So,
but yeah, so the Midgard Serpent, Jormungandr, whatever you want to call him, he's not the only one out there. He's not...
There are several
other legends very similar to
Enlighten them, Krusty.
Yeah, and one of them actually can be found in the good old Testament.
Even further back than the Old Testament, too.
Yeah, but if you're just going by biblical canon, you know, you don't have all these extra Jewish books. You're like, oh, I
whoa,
just got
whoa,
the...
Whoa, whoa,
you know, your classic...
That's offensive.
Your classic...
The Jewish books were first.
Okay,
if anything's extra...
You got your class.
It's the rest.
All right. Hey, I'm going down. You know, I'm going to the bookstore, and you see a Bible, and you buy it. It doesn't come with all the, you know, the Book of Enoch, all that.
Is that where you go when you go to Books a Million? Do you go to the Christian
section?
Straight
to the Bible section. I buy as many different types of Bibles as I can. no, but I actually have a copy of the NIV Bible on
the
on
NIV.
My shelf here. Yeah, like New International Version. There's millions of versions.
Oh yeah, King James.
Yeah. NIV, I think, is like one of the more popular, like just basic translations. Yeah, for the basic white person.
For the basic white boy bitch.
Yeah, but there's a sea monster in the Bible, which is pretty cool. The Leviathan.
Mm-hmm.
It's not as big as your boy Jormungandr.
Yeah, nothing. As far as the lore,
it's not Earth encircling.
That's the
big,
largest one,
but it's supposed to be pretty big. It could actually be a real thing too. The Hebrew word can mean crocodile. It supposedly could have meant crocodile.
Yeah, that's one of the rationalizations.
Could have meant
it was hippopotamus. Crocodile, it was a hippo.
But today, the word Leviathan in Hebrew means whale.
Well, so, it can also just be used as a word that just means anything huge.
Yeah, any big...
Like it was a Leviathan thing. Task. Like it was a big deal.
There's actually...
Powerful, you know.
There's a movie. When I was doing some research for this, there's a movie from, I think, 89 called Leviathan.
Yeah.
It didn't have good reviews, but
what's
the plot sounded interesting. It said...
The Leviathan?
It said, I think that American researchers were diving to the depths of the ocean and they came across something horrifying at the site of a crashed like Soviet sub.
Oh yeah,
it sounds very interesting.
Russians, that's what they found. They were horrified.
Yeah. So if you guys, if anyone's seen that movie and it's worth watching, let us know. I guess. But even if it's not, I still might give it a shot. So.
Well, if it's a crap movie, just keep it to yourself.
Yeah. All right. There you go.
If it's a good movie, let us know. If it's not,
Yeah, but the Leviathan in demonology now, with the study of demons, as...
Really? Demonology? The study of demons?
Yeah, the study of demons.
Oh, wow.
I'm a demonologist. I'm sorry. I don't know. It could be a she.
Did you just assume the Leviathan's gender?
No, I'm sorry. The Leviathan is probably some, like, gender fluid, like, thing. I don't know. But
I don't know.
I shouldn't label it, because I don't know. So I'll... You know,
it's basically, it's been in a bunch of different texts. In the book of Isaiah, it's described as a tortuous serpent. Tortuous means it's very turny and twisty. So it's long.
Serpentine.
Tortuous serpent that will be killed at the end of time.
Mm-hmm.
Presumably by God, I guess.
Yeah, I would guess.
Which I thought was interesting because similar to Thor and Jormungandr, at the end of time, he will slay the worm.
Yeah.
So it's kind of similar. Mm-hmm. In the Book of Enoch, which is not accepted as canon by most Jewish groups, it's not accepted as being official part of the OG collection.
Yeah.
But it says in there that it actually also has the Leviathan has a brother monster on land called the Behemoth, and that they're kind of the same squad. I think there's an air monster too, Riz or something like that.
Maybe.
Land, sea, and air. There's monsters everywhere.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of monsters. Yeah. A lot more monsters in the Bible than you would think.
Well, like you were saying about the demonology, it's also the name of, you could say, one of the seven princes of hell or one of the seven deadly sins.
Yeah. Well, the seven princes of hell, I think
they're kind of sometimes equated with
biblical scholars who kind of came up with these or classified these princes of hell kind of based their classification off of the seven deadly sins.
Yeah. If you're interested in demonology, just Google classification of demons and all the OG religious dudes. At some point in their lives, most of them would do their own little version of the classification of demons.
Mm-hmm.
The big one, I guess, that I've read a lot about is Peter Bensfield.
Yeah.
Bensfield's classification of demons.
Yeah, he was the big one.
As well as St. Thomas Aquinas. They both named Leviathan to be the demon of envy.
Mm.
So maybe it's big and green.
Maybe.
Jealousy's not just a giant green monster, it's the Leviathan.
Yeah, it's the Leviathan. Yeah. But
or the Jolly Green Giant. Maybe that's the Leviathan. Yeah,
maybe.
Eat your vegetables, kids. You're going to hell.
Yeah, but the Leviathan has also been associated with the motif of the hell mouth, which I thought was really interesting, a literal mouth of hell. Like, and it's not just like, oh, here's a cave and it's got some fire in it. A hell mouth, an actual mouth to some large creature. Either there's debate on whether it's constantly open.
Is hell inside of the Leviathan is what you're saying? Or no, is the mouth like just a gateway to hell?
Yeah,
or is
like
it just called the hell mouth because it's hellishly big?
No, it's supposedly an actual, like the hell mouth is the mouth of a creature. I don't know if you get like transported to hell or if it's like hell is actually inside of the animal or creature, but that's a common motif in early Christian iconography, I guess I should say. Like medieval Christian iconography, the hell mouth is a popular visual motif, and the Leviathan has been associated with that. And I thought it was funny. It was used throughout the Middle Ages through the Renaissance, the Hellmouth. And it was even in a political cartoon showing Napoleon leading his men into the mouth of a Leviathan.
So Russia.
Yeah, yeah. Essentially. I thought that was funny. It made its way all the way to Napoleon.
Yeah.
What a
character.
Yeah, what a character.
Napoleon.
Yeah.
Man. But yeah, it's kind of got the Leviathan, much like us, wears many different hats.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it's described as, you know, one of the seven deadly sins, one of the seven princes of hell. Sometimes it's basically used as an image to represent Satan because it's a giant serpent, and that's, you know, Satan is sometimes depicted as like a dragon
or just the snake in the garden.
Yeah, or the snake. So sometimes, you know, in some versions, I guess, God or the angels. I think there's a version where Michael, the archangel, battles the serpent.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe also, I know that there's a legend of Saint George fighting a dragon. I'm not sure if that one was also supposed to be Satan or not. But basically, in most versions where this serpent is the devil, it gets its ass handed to it by someone, some holy figure.
Yeah.
That's a common theme, and not just in the Christian and, you know, Judaism canons, but in plenty of religions. I know that, well, obviously you have Thor slaying the Jormungandr.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's also in Egyptian mythology, there's a serpent that represents like primordial chaos.
Yeah,
I forget its name. It might be Apep or something like that.
Something strange.
And that gets defeated by either Ra or Horus, or I'm not sure, but it gets beaten by the gods.
Yeah.
So it's kind of the big challenge.
Mm-hmm.
So it varies. And actually, there's a legend in the, I think it's pronounced the Midrash, which is sort of like a collection of early Jewish or like Hebrew, like it's like a literature collection. Yeah. It's kind of like, you know, legends and things like that, kind of like origin stories. But it says in the Midrash that the whale that swallowed Jonah narrowly escaped being devoured by the Leviathan, because the Leviathan would basically eat a whale every day.
There's always a bigger
fish.
So
he's a big old boy. He ate his Wheaties. Always his mama,
a bigger fish. If you learn anything from the prequels, folks, there's always a bigger fish. Thank you, Qui-Gon. Thank you, Qui-Gon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Speaking of Qui-Gon, he made an appearance with another sea monster.
Release the Kraken.
Release the Kraken.
That was a terrible...
yeah, the movie is... I think of it as...
my accent, my Liam Neeson voice.
Oh, well, bad. You know, it's hit or miss. You've got some great accents.
I kind of like the movie, though. I mean, it's not necessarily a good movie.
It's a fun ride.
It's an entertaining movie.
Right, it's a fun ride. Yeah. And, yeah, it's the guy from Avatar and Qui-Gon versus Voldemort and the Kraken.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Kraken is... It's a big boy.
He's a big boy, and, well, the thing is, don't get confused, gang. The Kraken is not originally a monster out of Greek mythology.
No, it's not.
It's not. I guess maybe that name, they named it the Kraken because I feel like more people know about Kraken than any of the other monsters of Greek mythology.
Yeah.
In the original, the Greek myth, the monster is called Cetus. I think that's how it's pronounced, or maybe Cetus. It's C-E-T-U-S. But they did get part of the movie right in that, well, sort of. The legend, the myth goes, Queen Cassiopeia, her daughter was born, and I guess once she grew up, she was kind of a babe, and so Cassiopeia was like, my daughter Andromeda is even more beautiful than the Nereids, or the Nereids, which are basically... Poseidon's favorite sea nymphs.
Yeah.
And to him and to the people, they basically represented everything that was beautiful about the sea. So Poseidon was pissed. He sends Cetus or Cetus. I don't know. I don't know how to read those phonetic in parentheses. You know, when you read a word and it's like, it's pronounced this way. I don't know.
Yeah.
Anyhow, Poseidon gets mad and he says, I'm sending this big monster to kill you. So an oracle basically told Andromeda's parents, you got to sacrifice Andromeda to the monster. And then Perseus shows up and saves the day. In some versions, he uses a sword to kill it. In others, he does what he did in the movie, and he uses the head of Medusa to turn it into stone.
Yeah.
So they kind of got that part right towards the end. That's how he defeats the what they call the Kraken. But originally, the Kraken goes, it's not that old. At least the name is not.
And also, the Kraken was originally kind of more of like a crab-like monster. You know, it's kind of like tentacly now with more of like an octopus.
Yeah, now it's more like an octopus. It's more like an octo-squid.
Kind of like a giant crab, which, I don't know, that's very
the Krapkin.
But I guess for the purposes of bringing down ships, like whole ships, the tentacles like wrapping around.
It likes to drag it to the bottom.
Works better. And, have you seen the Pirates of the Caribbean movies?
I have.
I think that's the third one where they have the Kraken come. And
it kills Jack Sparrow.
Comes up and it like wraps its tentacles around and then it snaps the ship in half and just drags it in. That's a pretty cool. Probably the only good thing
about. I liked it. Yeah, and then because it's after Jack Sparrow, I think, and then J. Depp's character is like, hey, man, and just kind of jumps into the mouth.
Yeah, and then he comes back in the next one. Like,
oh, yeah. I didn't die. That movie's pretty fast and loose.
With everything.
With everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
but I get the feeling that Johnny Depp leads a fast and loose lifestyle. So
he seems like the FNL sure kind of guy.
He's on board.
But another this is another big boy in the sea monster mythos, I guess. The Greek, I'm going to butcher this pronunciation, Aspidochilon? Aspidochilon?
Aspidochilon?
A-S-P-I-D-O-C-H-E-L-O-N-E. Not even going to try and pronounce it again. I'll call them Aspie.
I have no idea.
I'll call them Aspie. But it comes from the word aspis in Greek means shield. And the last part, dochelon or just chelon, is turtle. It's this giant, like,
Let's call him Lonnie. Let's call him Lonnie.
Lonnie?
For dochelon.
Okay, all right. Lonnie the dochelon.
Lonnie. Yeah. He's Lonnie.
There you go. He
Big Lonnie.
He kind of varies depending on the source of the story, but one thing that they always get is he is, like, this thing is just a beast. It's huge.
He's a hefty boy.
You'll see why. It's kind of like a whale-turtle hybrid, I guess.
Interesting.
But it's found in a lot of medieval bestiaries. And
bestiary.
Its back is a like big, spiny, like almost kind of looking like mountains or rocks.
My Godzilla.
It has sand dunes on its back. And even, like, some reports say that even trees grow from its back. So when it is lying in the water, its back is often mistaken for an island. That's how big this thing is. And so it's, you know, it's laying there, and it kind of lures in sailors with, you know, like, hey, I'm an island. Why don't you come get on me?
Yeah.
And it could even, in some of the stories, it even uses, like, a sweet smell to kind of lure people in. But it gets you land on its back. You know, you're thinking, all right, let's take a break. You know, let's kick our shoes off, play
get
in the sand.
Get some pina coladas.
Yeah, sit back a couple margaritas.
Let's
maybe
get caught in the rain, yo.
Maybe a Corona, I don't know. But they're, you know, they're doing their thing. And in all the stories, they light a fire to cook something or for warmth, whatever. And that's when the monster wakes up. You know, it's feeling like, is there a fire on my back? Come on, guys. Like,
yeah,
I'm free rent and everything. You're starting fires. That's when it's like, all right, enough of this. And it pulls the men under the sea. Men or women, I'm sorry. Pulls the men or women under the sea, drowns them, kills them. And it's like a, at first when I was reading it, I was like, oh, it's just like a monster, like a gentle giant who gets mistaken for an island. And then
he seemed like the good guy.
Yeah, but no, it's tricking these people. Like, it's like
it wants
it's wanting
to, yeah.
to do this. Yeah.
That actually sounds, do you have more? I was going to say, that sounds a lot like one that I read about. Called,
well, it's in a lot of different lores.
That's actually a more common thing of the false island that sinks into the sea, which is interesting.
It's in... because
we did an episode on islands that sank into the sea as well.
Yeah. It's in an episode of Avatar: The Last Airbender, actually. There's
the lion turtle.
Yeah, lion turtle.
Solid show.
It even actually made...
A real staple of my childhood.
I know. I love that show so much. But it even made it into Middle Earth. Tolkien wrote a poem about it, but he called it something else. He called it the Fast Titicalon. I don't
still
know why
Lonnie.
People
still
try
Lonnie.
Like
still
let's
Lonnie.
Name this particular creature something ridiculously difficult to pronounce.
Well, it's probably Greek. It's probably a bunch of Greek words put together to mean something.
Well, yeah, like I said, the first one was shield and turtle, but I don't know about this one. But yeah, he wrote a poem about it, and it was the same thing. The poem talks about how sailors are lured to land on what appears to be an island, and when they light their fires, the island deceives them and sinks to the bottom of the ocean and kills them. So yeah, I mean, this thing is literally Avatar: The Last Airbender and Middle Earth, two of the best things ever, in my
pretty
opinion.
Much. Well, like I was saying, I actually had a little more. I found some more cool stuff on the Kraken. One of the earliest mentions of it by name comes from a dude named Eric Pontoppidan.
Wow.
From around 1752.
What a good
he
name.
Was either the bishop or maybe the baron of... He was an important guy in a town called Bergen, which I think was somewhere in Scandinavia. The Kraken, but the legend, it's mostly been seen around, supposedly been seen around Norway and Greenland, you know, northern Atlantic, up in the cold.
Scandinavian area of the world.
Yeah, and he claimed that he had seen it off the coast, and that it too would sometimes be mistaken for an island, but that the real danger was that it would create whirlpools, and then if the ship was in its wake, it would get destroyed. Mm-hmm. But then it actually... I think that was maybe the first time that it was called the Kraken. But the name, or not the name, the monster itself has been linked to a monster from the Orvar Odur saga. It's another old Icelandic saga. Sound interesting. I hadn't heard about it before, but we might want to take a look at that one for another lore hour. But anyhow, basically, one of the legends is there's like a sailor, and I guess, or maybe an old king, but he spoke about these two monsters. Their names were Hafgufa. That's just how it's spelled. That's what it looks like, Hafgufa. And the Lingbacher
and Hafgufa.
The Lingbacher was basically thought to just be a giant whale. That's what it's thought now. It's just a big whale.
Yeah.
But it did the same thing that you were talking about. It would basically pose as an island, and then people would get off the boat, and then it would sink into the ocean, and presumably, I guess, somehow drown the people. Although, theoretically, they could just swim.
Yeah, I think, though, it's like, with something that large, like the, I don't know, the sinking of it, I feel like it kind of like traps you with it. I don't know. The
current. Well, I mean, if you think it's an island and you get off and you walk a mile away from your boat, then you're not going to make it back to the boat. You know, you probably won't be able to swim far enough as it's floating away.
No.
Something like that.
And just like the, since it's so large, just like probably how violent the maneuver is of sinking, like quickly, probably kind of like sucks you down, and it's difficult to get out of. We'll say that.
Yeah, for sure. And so, but it was actually thought that the Lingbacher, I guess, or maybe it was the Hafgufa. I don't know. It was thought that one of the monsters was the same as the Kraken. It was equated to the Kraken. And basically, the Hafgufa would do something similar. It would stick its mouth, like its face, out of the water, and its nostrils would look like they were rocks protruding up. And you would go over to the rocks, I guess, or go near them, and then it would snap you up and just swallow you whole.
Yikes.
But we should definitely look at that. And then also, of course, as we know, the Kraken was featured in Jules. I'm guessing it's just Jules Verne. Or maybe it's Jules.
I think it's Jules.
Okay. Yeah. Jules Verne's 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea, published first, I think, in 1870.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I got to fact check our buddy Jules. A league, if you didn't know, a nautical league is approximately, it's about 3.5 miles. It's a little under 3.5 miles.
Yeah.
The deepest point of the ocean, the Marianas Trench, is almost 7 miles deep. So at most, there's only 2 leagues under the sea.
Not even close,
not
Vernie.
20,000.
Yeah, not even close, Vernie.
20,000 leagues is like 65,000 miles or something.
that's a long way.
Yeah, it's a long way down.
To his credit, though, I don't know in 1870 if they knew.
Yeah, no, they didn't know much. Was. I mean,
I'm sure someone could have figured it out, been like, hey, dude, I don't think it's that deep. Just because of like, they knew how big the world
was. Well, and
was,
to his credit, probably. I mean, nobody in his lifetime figured out how deep the ocean was, I bet. So he probably thought, hey, even if they prove me wrong, I mean, later on, I won't have to be alive for the ridicule.
Yeah, I'll be dead. So, and I mean, it's just a good story in general, though. So,
yeah,
we can let that one slide.
I think we can. He wrote some pretty cool, they're classics.
Well, his work is the Kraken in 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea, or is it like, is it supposed to be the Kraken, or is it just a sea monster?
No, I'm pretty sure they call it the Kraken.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
I'm fairly certain.
Seeing the film, it looks like just a colossal squid.
It could have just been. Yeah, it could have been based on the legend.
That's a real type of squid, the colossal squid. But they don't get as big as in the book, at least that we know of. Because like we said earlier, 95% of the world's oceans are unexplored, undiscovered, unresearched. So we could have a truly colossal squid out there, you know, living out there doing something.
Definitely.
We don't know. But
well, I mean, and we know now that giant squids are real.
Yeah.
We saw a couple at the Smithsonian.
Yeah, we've seen some in D.C. If you are,
I still need to put those pictures up from our trip.
Yeah,
in the original Mothman adventure.
Yeah, the OG. But if you're in the D.C. area or something, go to the Smithsonian's Natural
Museum. It's damn it, dude! It's the Museum of Natural History.
Okay, whatever.
That's what it's called. He said it 10 times. He said it's the Natural History Museum.
Okay. Well, whatever.
It's the Museum of Natural History.
Tomatoes. You go there.
Maybe I'm just an asshole.
I think it's that you're just an asshole.
Yeah, that's probably it.
But if you go there, they have at least two giant squids. They're, of course,
yeah,
deceased.
One was more complete than the other, I think.
One
they had a they had a good 20 or 30 feet of one of them.
Yeah, and that's it's funny. It's actually much bigger than that, but when it died, it shrunk up considerably. So it's not as large as it would have been in the wild. But I mean, it's still insanely big. Like it's crazy, and
you could definitely see how, you know, someone back in the day could have seen one of those stretched out.
Yeah.
Think about it. All you really need to see is one long arm coming up out of the water, and your mind would probably make it much bigger than it actually was.
Yeah, yeah. You go tell your mates, I've just seen me a kraken.
I just saw me a kraken, mate.
Yeah, that's how they talk back then, everywhere.
I think it was more jumbled, like old English. I just saw me a kraken.
I saw a kraken.
Like that? Yeah, like a sloth from the Goonies.
Yeah, or you got like a...
Hey, you guys, I'm cracking!
Yeah.
That's definitely it, yeah.
But yeah, I mean, there's a lot of things out there that, just get misconstrued for... I don't even know if that's the right word. I'm an idiot, but...
I think that's right, yeah.
Misconstrued. There you go. They get...
Did you say misconstrued or construed, duh?
I'm just going to go with a different word, misinterpreted as something else.
There's a lot of mistaken identity.
Yeah.
Which is why, as cool as these legends are, you got to take them all with a grain of salt.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you got globsters, which is a real word. In doing research for this episode, I thought it was just like someone affectionately named something a
Look
globster.
Look at him, he's a globster.
But it's the accepted name for when a animal carcass washes up on shore. It's separated. It's kind of decomposing. And it's separated from its skeleton, so it's just a big blob or glob of skin.
Didn't one of those show up in India or something recently?
I think so. And I mean, there's the past however many years, something washed up in Montauk, and they've called it the Montauk Monster. And
I've heard of that.
And scientists speculate that it is a decomposing raccoon, actually. but yeah, I mean, if you see like...
Sounds like it washed up in Tennessee.
Yeah, if you see like a just a big glob of skin wash up on shore, you're like, oh, that's probably a
monster. It's either your great aunt June or it's a raccoon.
Yeah, or a raccoon. But I mean, lots of whale carcasses have washed up on shore, decomposed, and people have like... misidentified it as just some horrific monster, because it is truly terrifying to see one of these globsters wash up.
Yeah.
They're disgusting and just gross. So, I mean, imagine seeing that. Like, I mean, it's not like globsters. I just love that that's a word.
That's a solid word.
It's not like globsters.
Vocab word for
this
podcast is globster.
Yeah.
Tell your friends, punk.
Yeah, globsters. Hashtag globsters.
Hashtag globster.
Yeah, I mean, imagine seeing a globster, you know, several hundred or even 1,000 years ago wash up on shore. You didn't really know necessarily about animal decomposition.
Well, I'm sure that the reason that, you know, it could have seemed more possible that the monster was a monster of myth is because you kind of lose the line between myth and reality. You know, I mean, obviously there are giant squids. There are, you know, blue whales, which are like 100 feet long.
Yeah, biggest animal
like
on the planet right
almost 200,000 tons or something like that.
Yeah, that's a big
one. Yeah, it's the biggest mammal ever, I'm pretty sure. That's what it's called. They refer to it as the biggest mammal ever. Probably more in terms of like weight.
Yeah, not necessarily sheer size.
Yeah. But yeah, it's hard to kind of know the line. And it makes sense because, you know, you've got... You know, the Leviathan, who could supposedly, shoot heat out of its mouth and boil the ocean around it. That could breathe poison. Apparently, there's a theory that for monsters that appear in the sort of the Icelandic canon or around the Scandinavian region, whenever they say maybe the monster could breathe poison, apparently that could be partially due to the fact that boats would sail close to volcanically active islands, specifically Iceland, and the fumes from the sea floor were toxic.
Ah, okay.
So if you thought all you know is poison's coming out of the ocean, you might think we're getting poisoned by like a monster or something.
Yeah.
I mean, how would you know?
Yeah. Lots of sea monsters were used as kind of like cautionary tales or warnings. Like,
yeah, basically like just how not to die at sea.
Like, oh, this is a monster that creates whirlpools. I mean, whirlpools are a real thing. You know, you're going to want to avoid that. So you tell people, hey, there's a Kraken-like monster or something like that over there. So just don't take your boats over there because you're going to die.
Yeah.
And that's why you see, like, if you've ever looked at like an ancient, like, or like a medieval map, sometimes they have sea monsters, you know, on them, like painted on them, depicted in the oceans, and those were kind of generally
here there be like monsters.
Avoid this area because there's bad stuff, and they didn't necessarily.
Well, even up to the exploration age, like 1500s, 1600s, even hundreds of years after the Middle Ages, they've got
kind of persisted pretty much until just like more modern, not like modern as in.
I'd say just until like taxonomy or whatever, you know, just like we had a more complete record of all the species on the earth. Not all, but, you know.
Yeah.
Until they classified them.
More so than.
There's a line. You got to distinguish for yourself between reality and myth. You know, maybe the Kraken was based on an actual giant squid. And then there's, you know, a monster like the Hydra.
Maybe it was based on your mom.
Which we all. Well,
I don't know.
That's hurtful.
We'll see.
And not true. Anyhow, the Hydra, which everyone knows and loves. If you grew up watching Disney movies.
Yeah, or playing the God of War video games.
Like maybe you had a more cultured upbringing and read about the 12 labors of Hercules. I don't know what your parents did to you.
Yeah, I only knew about it from video. I mean, I've read about it now, but when I was a kid, I only knew about it from the movie Hercules and the first God of War video game. I think that's the first boss that you fight is the
Hydra. Is it?
Yeah, it was a fun fight.
Yeah, it's a child of the Typhon and Echidna, which is basically two other monstrous.
Yeah.
I think they're both kind of serpentine, but not fully.
Not as much. They're more as like the Hydra.
Humanoid serpent. The Hydra, yeah, the Hydra is all snakes.
Man, they're the Greeks are breeding just all these insane monsters, man.
They really did put together a pretty sweet bestiary.
Yeah, they really did. I mean, you have all these gods banging it out, producing just these awful monstrosities.
Yeah.
It's pretty crazy.
Attractive parents does not mean attractive children, folks.
No, it does not.
So
not
think twice before you have kids.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it was the second labor of Heracles to kill the Hydra.
Ooh, Heracles.
Heracles, that's the Greek spelling.
I didn't know you were Greek.
No, but that's his original name. It's Hercules to the Romans.
I didn't know that you were Roman.
I could be. I'm a basic white dude, so.
Yeah. I mean, it's possible.
Maybe. So. And he defeated it by cutting off the heads and then cauterizing the stumps so that the more heads couldn't grow back.
Yeah, because basically. It's traditionally the Hydra, when you cut off one head, two more come to take its place. So it's
the more popular.
Kind of like that's very smart of him to do that, because if you cut off a head and two more grow back, how are you expected to stop this thing?
Yeah, the idea was it could not be killed while it still had one head.
So you got to cut them all off at the same time.
Cauterize.
Or just one. It depends on how, I don't know what the swing that Heracles had.
Draw your own conclusion and kill your Hydra however you please.
If he had a lightsaber, it would have been perfect.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of things would be perfect if people had lightsabers.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. If you can invent in your mythology a Hydra, you could also invent a lightsaber. So.
Yeah, I don't know. I just like to be able to imagine those monsters a little for myself, you know?
Yeah.
The bigger, the cooler, you know?
Very much so.
I don't know. As far as the real-life inspirations for the legends, you know?
Yeah.
I could see how people would get mixed up, I guess.
Yeah. Oh, well, I've got some more stuff for later in the show that when you hear about or see, like, yeah, you can definitely see how some people took what they saw and, you know, came home and said, dude, I just saw a monster.
Yeah.
There's some weird shit out there.
There really is.
There's some very weird stuff.
Yeah, for sure.
But speaking about the Hydra, actually, kind of connects back to the idea of the Leviathan. You know, the Leviathan, one of the seven princes of hell, also the gatekeeper to the gates of hell. And the Hydra is possibly considered to have possibly been the guardian of the entrance to the underworld, where he lived. Like, his kind of like lair was said to possibly be an entrance to the underworld.
His lair?
Which he was a guard. Once again, man, I'm sorry. I'm just...
You scumbag.
I'm just gendering everything out here, and I really don't know. So, but yeah, so all these legends kind of connect in a way.
Basically, so, I mean, I think it's pretty rare for any of the legends to have a sea monster be considered benevolent in any way. I mean, it's almost always bad news.
Yeah.
What do you think you would do if you were on a boat and you saw tentacles, you saw maybe just a giant mouth coming up from the ocean floor to swallow you whole? Well, I think I would just jump on in. I think I'd save myself the terror and just be like, okay,
yeah,
this is my life now.
Hmm.
Or maybe you could pull a Jonah.
Do I have a gun?
Who knows? Maybe you survive inside of it.
I'm just gonna say
Italian job your way out later on.
Yeah. if I had a gun, once I saw that, I'd probably just turn and shoot myself.
Okay, I thought you were gonna say you were gonna shoot the monster, but no, you just
in no. Your if own. You have if you have a gun, like, you're not gonna do anything to a Kraken.
That's kind of your policy for all the scary stuff. Anytime we watch a scary movie,
yeah,
he's like, as soon as that happened, I would just kill myself.
Yeah, because I don't get the people in the movie are like, oh, maybe I can like continue to live a normal life, even though I now know that demons and just hauntings and all that crazy stuff are real, and I've seen it firsthand. How? No.
Yeah.
Because even if you get like the ghost is gone or something, like, you still know that it exists. And so how can you ever sleep
again? How do you know its ghost friends will be like, hey, man, you just killed my
friend. Yeah, like, what the heck, dude? Like,
you're going down.
That was my ghost, bro. So, yeah, the only way that you can be sure, once you have encountered something like that, the only way you can be sure to never encounter it again
is to just not even kill yourself.
Yeah, and that's the only way you can be safe. So that's why if that happens to me...
I mean, on the other hand, if you beat the first one, you could defeat the others, too.
But why... No, but that's the thing, because you've now opened... You know that all this stuff that you didn't think was possible is possible. So why not, if you defeated a ghost, oh, wow, that's good for you.
But wouldn't you rather know the truth?
Who's to say that the next ghost that comes after you won't be just an insurmountable challenge and you can't win and it tortures you for life?
How do you know that when you die, you won't just become a ghost and then it'll ghost bully you for all of eternity?
Well, I'm just going to have to deal with that. That's, you know, just consequences.
Yeah, I guess it can't kill you again.
Yeah, I'm just gonna have to take the risk. But for now, if something like that happens, kill yourself. Save yourself.
For now, kill yourself. Later on,
yeah. I'm not advocating this is a good strategy for anyone else. This is just my own personal.
That's Krusty's personal prescription.
This is my life motto
for surviving monsters and ghosts.
This is my life motto: kill yourself, save yourself the trouble. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I feel like you can only be so terrified before you just kind of, you just don't get scared anymore.
You know what I mean?
Like,
I don't know.
Like, wouldn't you just feel so much terror to the point where you're like, is it even worth it?
Well, see, that's the thing. You can say these things, but
I guess I'll never know until
you encounter it. That's the thing.
Until the half goofa comes to pull my dinghy under the ocean.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah,
You never know. Welcome to my ocean.
These are Greg's waters. What you doing in these waters? You seen the old Greg?
Old Greg, the ultimate sea monster.
Yeah, he's the ultimate. Along up there with Michael Phelps.
Oh, dude. Yeah, the
he
true.
He is quite the sea monster.
They exist today, Michael Phelps.
Yeah, the melted action figure of a man.
Yeah, he does. Yeah, he looks a little melted.
He looks like a lot of things, but we'll leave that for another day.
Handsome, but in a slightly weird way. You can't quite put your finger on it.
Yeah, but I mean,
something's fishy about that guy. Whatever you think of the guy,
most decorated Olympian ever, right?
Is he still?
I think so. I mean, things might change. The Olympics are coming up, I think, this week.
This week?
Yeah, well, Winter Olympics.
They are always in February, aren't they? The winter ones, yeah.
Yeah, there won't be any swimming. But I think, I mean, outside of just his category, I think he is the most decorated Olympian of all time. So, which is unfair that a sea monster would get that when the rest are humans.
Yeah, shouldn't there be a league for sea monsters?
Yeah, like he should be in like the special, I mean, the sea monster Olympics. Not the special. Oh, man, I'm sorry. yeah, not the...
Yeah,
not
they the should create Olympics. A more special kind of Olympics.
Yeah, for people for Michael like Phelps. Michael Phelps, if you are picking up well, didn't, what I'm putting down.
In the last Summer Olympics, there was a heartwarming story about how there was this kid. He, you know, I mean, obviously he's not a kid anymore. He's in the Olympics. But apparently, I guess, at the 2008 Olympics, he was like a big Michael Phelps fan. Oh. And I don't know if it was at the Olympics or somewhere somewhere around that time, he was a big Michael Phelps fan, and there's pictures of him meeting Michael Phelps, and he was psyched. And then in the Rio in the 2016, yeah. he beat Michael Phelps in one event.
Yeah, I remember seeing that. That was pretty funny. And remember that's where like those memes kind of came from. There's all these memes of him. He looked so pissed off. Like, he was wearing his hood. He had his earphones in. And he was, like, prepping. I think he had just lost. And he looked just so angry.
You think he was mad about that particular loss?
Yeah, because, like, I think
I would be psyched if I inspired someone and then that inspiration led them to cultivate the hard work and the determination to beat me at my own thing. That's pretty badass.
All right. Well, I mean, good for you, I guess, but I'd be pretty pissed. I mean, I wouldn't be like so angry that I would like let my emotions on national TV, like let everyone know, oh, I'm mad because this guy beat me. But like, I probably would.
Well,
be
I'm
like,
guessing he didn't know he was being filmed for that particular.
I mean, you're at the Olympics. You're always being filmed.
Yeah, you should assume.
Yeah. NBC is everywhere. But.
Yeah, they really are.
Yeah.
What about dinosaurs?
Dinosaurs,
some of the classic. I guess they were kind of like the OGs.
Yeah, they were the OG because they are. I mean, as far as we know, they are the only true what we would consider sea monsters to have ever lived.
Maybe you consider that.
I mean, maybe we'll see. We'll see. Only time will tell.
I'm all about the half goofa.
You're all about the what?
The half goofa.
Oh yeah. All right. Yeah. I don't know. I like the. What's the one?
I'm not half goofing around here. Okay.
I like the Leviathan. I think that's pretty cool.
Yeah, I think it has the coolest sounding name, to be honest.
Yeah, it really does. That's a cool name. I could see starting like a metal band.
Is this rock lamp what smells weird?
Possibly.
Do rock lamps generate smells?
It might. I don't know.
We got a rock, or is it salt lamp?
It's a salt rock lamp.
We got a salt rock lamp for the studio.
Yeah.
And it's fun to look at.
It's closer to you. I can't really smell anything, but...
Something smells weird.
I just smell pipe tobacco. That's all I smell. Because I'm a pretentious douche.
You're my pretentious douche.
Aw, thank you. But...
Actually, technically, you're... I'm... Mrs. Krusty's...
Yeah. Yeah, there you go.
Pretentious douche. Can you tell the listeners why you latched on to that one name?
Krusty?
Yeah, I thought you really liked jumping around, but now it's Krusty.
I don't know. I signed a few emails.
Are you a Simpsons fan?
Isn't there
a clown named Krusty?
Yeah, Krusty the Clown. I am a Simpsons fan. I'm not like a massive. I feel like there are some people that are like so into the Simpsons. They have like toys and everything. I'm not like that because I didn't grow up watching it. I kind of caught on to it later.
Yeah,
as
that was
a teenager.
A little before our time.
Yeah.
It's still on, but like,
yeah, like
it
technically
it got big before
could grow
our
up
time.
Watching the Simpsons if you're born.
South Park is kind of our.
I mean, Simpsons. I didn't grow up watching
South
any
Park
of those
is our
things.
Simpsons.
I didn't grow up watching either of those though, so I can't really say.
I had to watch South Park secretly.
Is mine?
We couldn't. Me and my brothers couldn't let our parents know we were watching South Park.
We didn't even have Comedy Central. That was like blocked. So,
Yeah, he grew up in a religious compound as part of a cult where he had to wash some old dude's feet every day.
Yep.
right? Isn't that, did I get that right?
Yeah, no, that's right. Yeah. Well, not just old dude's feet. I watch other things, but I'd rather not talk about
that. Keep those in your nightmares.
Yeah, I'd rather not talk about that. Yeah. I don't know why I suck with Krusty. It just, I signed a few work emails.
It just as called Krusty. Oh, okay.
And it just, like, it felt good knowing the that alias I was being,
latched onto you.
I was being professional. Like, I was emailing about things for work for this podcast. Yeah. And I signed it Krusty. I was like, just feels right. Also, I feel like, I mean, my wife tells me this all the time. Hey, you look kind of crusty today.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So, it's still weird to hear you say my wife.
Yeah, I know. Trust me. But it is strange. But it's a beautiful thing. I like it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Krusty just feels right.
So, Krusty and Junior.
Yeah.
Or Krusty JR.
Or JR. Or Squatch. Or Squatch Junior. So, or the big Squatches man on campus.
Junior. Squatches Junior.
Yeah. Or...
Don't call me a Squatch. My father is the Sasquatch.
Oh yeah, he's the Sasquatch. Yeah. All right. So you're like the Squatch.
But I'm almost as Squatchy.
Yeah, you're getting there.
Squatches Junior.
Or we could also, you could call him the Boss Baby if you like. That's a good one. He likes that.
I don't like that.
I think he does. I think he's lying.
Although the joke's on you because that movie got Oscar nominations. I don't know if the Oscars haven't happened yet, have they? Did they happen?
I don't think so.
I feel not. Like I can't keep up with any modern, like any event.
No, yeah. You know I always mean? Watch those things like the day after because I don't know about it until the day after.
For sure. For sure. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, back to dinosaurs, I guess. Yeah, like we were
Did saying, you have a favorite when you were a kid?
My favorite, I actually found out recently that my favorite dinosaur. The Stegosaurus. I used to call it the Chipposaurus because it looks like it has chips on its back. You know, like the really like, they're kind of like big fans.
Yeah, almost. Yeah.
Found out that's not even a real dinosaur.
What do you mean?
Like it was like they found some bones and they're like, oh, this might have been what it looked like.
They got it wrong. You're saying they got it wrong when they.
That's not crap. Like that's not even a real dinosaur. They just kind of speculated this is what it might look like based off like its leg bone or something. Like, so I was pretty disappointed when I found that out recently.
Yeah.
That was my favorite. I didn't know too much about dinosaurs that lived in the oceans until I was a little bit older. So now, if I had a favorite dinosaur now, the Leopleurodon has got to be it.
Is it a magical Leopleurodon?
Yeah. From you're not referencing Charlie the Unicorn, are you?
Maybe. I don't know. I had a childhood, too.
All right. Well. But yeah, so I would say Leopleurodon. It's just, it's amazing. It's huge. It's this giant reptile. Kind of had like a short neck, but I think it was the largest carnivore to ever live. Because, you know, the blue whale is the largest mammal right now or ever, and it's huge. But
yeah.
It's not a carnivore. This is the largest carnivore ever. I think it doesn't even sound that big, but the largest species of it was like estimated about 21 feet. Which is, I mean, that's a big animal.
Of the Leopleurodon?
Yeah, but these things, like, these things tore up, like, megalodons. Like, they're.
Are you sure it wasn't 21 meters? Because megalodons are a lot bigger than 21 feet.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's just because of the. It's definitely 21 feet.
That's not that big.
I know, it's really not, but they have impressive jaws. They're big, they have a big bite radius. And like they're very fast too, so they swim much faster than.
So they're like the Velociraptor of.
Yeah, exactly. Like if you think of a megalodon as a T-Rex, then the Leopleurodon is the Velociraptor. But if a Velociraptor could kill a T-Rex,
of course everyone likes the animated dramatization videos of the megalodons during Shark Week.
Yeah,
I live for that shit.
I do too, except for when last. Or several years ago, they aired this documentary about the megalodon, but they never were like, oh, this is a fake documentary that we put together. They were like, this is 100% real. They got in like a little bit of trouble for that because I remember watching it.
Thinking, what, did they say things that weren't true? Or
well, no, like it was just like, it was like, we have real footage, which anytime someone says we have real footage of something that no one has ever seen before. You know, take that with a grain of salt.
Oh, so they claimed they found one still alive
yeah,
today.
Yeah, and they made this whole documentary about it. And then, but like, at like in very small text at the end of the credits, it was like, this is not a real, like, this is
that's some fiction grade A
produced
scamming.
For Shark Week. And I was like, what the heck? So, but I mean, obviously, once you watch it and it gets to the part with the megalodon, like, it's very clearly CG'd. So,
yeah. Well, there's and then there's the Mosasaur.
Yeah,
which was in Jurassic World. Yeah, that's the one in the water park that. Although I want to say in the movie they exaggerated its size a little bit.
Yeah, that thing is way bigger in the movie than it should have been.
Yeah, because I'm pretty sure they're only about 50 feet when they actually lived.
Yeah, which was about 70 million years ago. Long time. But yeah,
not that long, though, compared to like, you know, T-Rex and stuff, right?
Yeah.
So it's a newer one than those? It's more recent?
Possibly?
Hmm.
I don't know. I mean, there could be. If Nessie is a plesiosaur, like some people believe, then maybe. But I don't think so.
Hmm. Well, speaking of Nessie-ish monsters, we talked about some of the European and Mediterranean legends.
Yeah, there are also quit being so Eurocentric here.
Yeah, there are also plenty of sightings. We'll get to a couple that were in Japan, but Cape Ann, Massachusetts, and in Gloucester, which I think it was in, is that Maine? I don't know, two Maybe. Early towns, Cape Ann in 1639. There was supposedly a sighting of a sea serpent, and apparently it just became like a common local town monster. You know, everyone was claiming to have seen it. They said that it was, like many, incredibly long. Oh, one thing that I didn't mention is, one of the rationalizations for a lot of these sea monsters that are more serpentish, and some of the legends say that the monsters had manes, almost like a horse.
Yeah.
The oarfish can routinely get up to like 30 feet long or longer.
Yeah, I think longer.
And it has like a kind of like a mane, like it has a fins on the top of its. Running down its head.
Yeah, like running right down the middle.
It's so if you just saw that coming out of the water, you might think.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. It's like a horse's mane or something.
Yeah, it has.
If you couldn't see it clearly.
Thing like going down from the top of its head, like all the way down to the back of its tail. And on the front of its head, it has it even goes up longer, kind of like a little, like a bouquet of tentacly looking things.
Yeah. And at the, and the Gloucester sea serpent, I guess. Some of the accounts said that it had something like a spear on its face. Maybe it was just one of those. Maybe it was like one of the fins, or who knows? Maybe a narwhal. That's what I was thinking. Is a narwhal found its way south?
Yeah,
because narwhals aren't that much bigger than a person. They're usually like between 9 and 12-ish feet. That's big.
Yeah,
but they're not the size of a legit whale.
Yeah, they're not like 40-footers or anything.
Yeah, they're smaller. And narwhals live around, you know, Greenland, Canada, and Russia. So it's not that hard to believe that one that lived around Canada or Greenland kind of just came south a little bit.
Yeah, what if it kind of got lost, something like that?
Yeah.
That's what I was actually watching the show River Monsters.
Solid show.
It is a good show.
You should watch that.
Yeah, but they were doing something on the Loch Ness Monster. He was like, I'm going to try and figure out what it really is. And he came up
solid
with
solid accent.
Yeah, he came up with the Greenland shark as the most likely culprit, and that's kind of like, you know, it's kind of around the waters of Greenland. And he said, "What if it kind of like, you know, went outside?" And sharks have been known to live in fresh water. You know, tiger sharks live in the Mississippi River.
Bull sharks.
Yeah, it's a common thing. So he theorized Greenland shark because they have a very small dorsal fin, like almost non-existent. So if you see its back coming out of the water, it kind of looks like, you know, the underside of a boat, a small boat, possibly Nessie. So he's thinking that's why, you know, that's what some people are seeing. That's Greenland pretty cool. Shark that kind of lost its way, if you will.
Yeah.
Just thought I'd throw that out there. But
and as far as real life, well, I mean, we can assume that whatever they saw, you know, in the Americas, that it was probably something real, whether it was a real monster instead of something like an oarfish. We don't know. We do know that obviously there's the giant squid, which we've seen, that can get up to 40 to 50 feet long.
And then there's the colossal squid, which can get even bigger.
Yeah. Well, here's the way I think of it is, if we can have human beings who something is going on with their growth, like hormones,
and or a Yao Ming type.
Yeah, or that guy, his name was Robert something. He was like 10 feet tall.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I don't know the science behind it, but who's to say that there couldn't be a squid equivalent of that? It would only take one of those monster squids. Yeah, because even if, you know, we think the biggest ones only get to around 50 feet, you never know. One could end up being much bigger, yeah. And then that could inspire some serious legends.
Or what if, here, picture this. You know, we've really only recently seen or discovered like giant squids. Like, it's been theorized for a long time, but they haven't been sighted until more recently, in the past 100 years, something like that.
Scientists.
Like, yeah, right. Like underwater cameras, which, by the way, if you go onto YouTube and look at those videos, that footage is
still creepy.
They are horrifying. Yeah, yeah, like, it's very, very frightening.
These long tentacles just slowly drifting up out of the abyss. The black
ocean, like, it's very scary.
That's worse when you can't see the rest of the squid. You can only see its tentacles coming up.
Yeah, that's pretty creepy.
Yeah, but, so there's those big boys.
I mean, in the past 150 years, I'm going to guess that's the time frame that we've, like, seen giant squids, like, modern, and, like, studied them. I'd say probably in that we've maybe seen, like, a handful, because they're very elusive.
Do you know how deep down they live? They live fairly deep down. They live fairly deep.
Like, it's,
they can change. Like, I mean, they can survive further up, but they're usually pretty deep.
Yeah, they're usually very deep. So they live very deep. We probably haven't seen that many of them. And if it's an entire, like, species, I mean, unless they're very endangered, there's probably quite a bit. So what if the ones that we're seeing are just, like, those are the smaller ones? Like, not even, like, what if, oh, there was, like, a gigantic version mutated of it? What if we're just seeing the smaller ones?
Yeah.
Like, you know, once again, I'm coming back to that statistic, 95% of the ocean is undiscovered. It's a lot of room.
Well, and if you think about it, the problem with living, for the fish that live way at the bottom of the ocean, it's hard to find food. But if you have 50-foot long arms or longer, all you really have to do is kind of stick them out there and twirl them around a little bit, and you're going to see what comes back.
Yeah, you hang them out and just whatever they bring in. And, I mean, they eat sperm whales. That has been confirmed. They on a lot of sperm whales, they find scarring that's
from the suckers.
Yeah, because they have little razor sharp teeth on their tentacles too. So they find scars that match with that on sperm whales a lot of the time. So they know that that's a common snack for giant colossal squids. I mean, that's a lot of food. So, you know, you eat one of those, you're probably set for a little while.
And they were, you know, it was Japanese scientists, I believe, who got the first serious footage of giant squids. They've also got
that's some creepy.
The Japanese also have some. Of course, they've got their own lore. Some of it that came from after the time that Japan was settled. Some of it from the Ainu population, which were already there. specifically, though, as far as real monsters, I guess there's the giant Pacific octopus. Each of its arms, the typical range is around 25 feet, I guess. But in the Guinness Book of World Records, apparently someone found one that had 32-foot arms.
Yeah,
and the difference is, you know, each of an octopus's arms is more. It's because they're all kind of connected by a membrane, each of its arms. So think about it, 32 feet, if it latched on the bottom of a boat, those tentacles could easily reach up and over the side and into the boat.
Yeah.
So maybe, you know, a sailor just saw these tentacles coming out of the ocean and wrapping around the boat, and they just assumed that the octopus was even larger.
Yeah, like,
you know,
the
if you're just seeing tentacles that are, you know.
Yeah, you see a 30-something foot-long tentacle, you must assume, oh, the head's got to be, like, yeah, the size of a ship or something.
Yeah,
like,
and there's actually what you might consider it's in the Shinto religion. It's sort of like it's almost like a minor god. They call them kami. Their gods are called kami. It's called the Akoro Kamui, and it's basically an octopus god. In the lore, its body is up to 120 meters in length.
Wow, that's pretty
so
big.
So its arms would be hundreds of feet long. But here's the interesting thing. In terms of the religion, it's considered often to be a benevolent kami or god. If you properly worship and leave offerings,
that's the first one that we've come across.
It will bring you better fortunes than devouring your ship.
Yeah.
And of course, there's another one that I came across, another sea monster that is not such a nice guy. Mm-hmm. It's called the Umibozu or the Sea Bonds.
Oh, yeah. He's a meanie.
Which is referred to as a drowned monk, because in the lore they have basically like bald, round heads, like a monk. And one of the legends is that if you're out in the ocean and you speak its name, it'll come up and destroy your ship. It's said to, there's an alternative legend where it's basically like a demonic water spirit.
Yeah.
With a cloud-like torso and serpentine arms. Hmm. You tell me, what has a cloud-like torso and serpentine arms? A big octopus.
Yeah.
Because the way they swim, where they go like, and they kind of like draw their arms in.
It's like a pulsating almost.
Yeah, it looks like a cloud-shaped torso, very fluttery and fluffy. So maybe somebody had a serious, and they have heads that mm-hmm. are round, you know? So like maybe it was a big octopus. I don't really know. Of course, we have Godzilla.
Yeah. Speaking of octopus, though, I can't believe I didn't bring this up earlier when we were talking about ones that don't actually exist.
Mm.
I guess my favorite sea monster, or one of them, Cthulhu.
Cthulhu.
From our good pal H.P. Lovecraft.
He's much better than a lowly sea monster.
Yeah, I mean, he's a god. He's the god in the Lovecraft mythos. But, I mean, he's like this giant, described as like a octopus humanoid dragon that just stands hundreds of feet tall. He's a badass.
He's a big boy.
Yeah. He's awesome. I just had to throw that out. We don't have to spend a whole lot of time talking about him. I just want to say, Cthulhu, you're my hero. I love you. Come to Brazil, please.
Cthulhu.
What? Oh, man. It's just a joke. You know, when you see like on Instagram or Facebook, I don't know if you follow any bands or like comedian stuff like that, for some reason in the comments section, like the most popular thing that's in there is like people saying like, please come to Brazil. Like, I don't know why. It's just, it's such
probably
a weird thing.
I mean,
it's a joke I'm working on now. I'm just trying to throw that out there.
It's like, a bit.
Come
it's
to Brazil. Yeah.
Krusty the comedian. Look at you.
Yeah, I'll be at the Comedy Store Thursday. I will not be at the Comedy Store.
Comedy dates coming up, guys.
Yeah. No. Maybe. One of these days.
That's the thing.
Probably
some
not.
Some of the best podcasts all start with the host talking about their comedy dates, but we don't have.
Yeah, we are
dates.
Not comedians, professionally at least.
Not even amateurly.
Yeah, we're below amateur comedian, whatever.
We're just
what's
your friendly neighborhood
people that talk and sometimes make you laugh.
Yeah, we're that.
We're the friendly neighborhood people that sometimes talk and make you laugh.
We hope you're laughing. We hope you're crying. We hope you're experiencing the full range and depth of your human emotions.
Yeah, we're trying to get, it's a full on cathartic.
We really
experience.
Hope you stay out of the path of any sea monsters, unless you think you can get a selfie and then get away.
Mm-hmm.
If you do, then definitely let us know.
Yeah,
I still really need to put up my pictures from
the
trip.
You do.
I got some cool pics.
Yeah, we've got some good stuff. There's a lot of cool stuff at the Museum of Natural History.
Yes, you got
there
it.
There you go. Speaking of pictures, though, one thing, bringing kind of a real life, currently alive sea monsters to the world. This guy, he's Russian. He's from Murmansk, which is it's about
Murmansk.
Murmansk. I know. I thought that was
wow.
Funny.
That's yeah. That's,
I don't know if I'm pronouncing that correctly, but it's about 900 miles north of St. Petersburg. So this thing is
what is St. Peter? What is that?
St. Peter.
900 miles north of. I mean, like I don't know. I can't point that to that on a map.
Okay. Well, sorry.
Like,
I knew where St. Petersburg was.
That's
so
towards
just,
the west, right? It's closer to Europe, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, that's. I don't want to get into the history lesson there, but it's very northwest.
It's the Portland of Russia.
Peter the Great called it his window to the west, St. Petersburg. But it's very west in Europe, or in Russia. It's about 900 miles north, because in St. Petersburg, during the summer, they have the White Nights, which are it's basically daytime all day long, like for almost 24 hours during the summer. So they're pretty high up.
They get pretty Hyperborean with it.
Yeah, so this is 900 miles north of that. They're inside the Arctic Circle here in Murmansk. And this man, his name is Roman Fedortsov, I believe.
Can you say that more slowly?
Roman Fedortsov.
Fedortsov?
Fedortsov.
Fedortsov.
Yeah, Fedortsov. Fedortsov. I'm just going to guess at that.
Is he working on some cool stuff?
He works on a boat. I'm not sure exactly what he does, if they're like fishers or what, but he works on
fishers?
Fishermen, whatever. he works on this boat in the Arctic Circle. So he pulls up a lot of weird stuff out of the ocean.
Like and, what? AIDS?
Yeah, there's the deep sea AIDS. Is that ancient AIDS that affects fish only.
It's also known as polar bear AIDS.
Yeah. But his Twitter actually kind of blew up in, I think, late 2016. So we're coming at you a little bit late on that. But
why? Why did it blow up?
He started posting pictures of the weird fish that he pulled out of the sea. And people kind of caught on. They're like, wow, I think it was in the Moscow Times. Like, it was pretty big deal. But he's pulled up some ridiculous stuff. So look him up. You can find his Twitter. You can find
Are they like species that... Are they just species that are very rarely seen?
Yeah, stuff... Well, firstly, he's picked up some things that no one has ever seen before, but he's also picked up things that, like...
He's a pioneer.
Yeah, that people, like, speculated exist, or, like, they've seen fossils of. Some things have been seen before, but just very rarely.
Kind of like cryptids.
Yeah. But he pulled something out called the frill shark.
The frill shark.
Which is, like, it's like this eel-like shark. It's like a black... It really does look like an eel, but it's a shark. It has almost a mouth like a fluke. Like a
fluke?
Yeah, like a fish fluke. It's kind of like a parasitic, like worm type thing.
You're losing me, Krusty. I don't know what that is.
I'm sorry, but it's got like a roundish mouth with like razor sharp teeth. It kind of looks like a suction cup almost.
Like the worm from the Sarlacc pit.
Yeah, kind of. It's pretty crazy, but they call that actually, it's been called a living relic because it's so primitive in its features and like the way, like it's, I guess, design, it's ancient. Apparently it's just something that never evolved, I guess, just kind of got stuck on the evolutionary chain, and
or maybe it had already, gotten to where it needed to be.
Yeah. It was like,
maybe there was really no need
much else. So yeah. This is it. He pulled out something called the stoplight loose jaw, which is a type of dragonfish.
Dragonfish?
Yeah, it looks...
That sounds dope.
It almost looks like a large black praying mantis of the sea.
Whoa.
It's a very strange looking animal. He pulled out a type of chimera, not the ancient Greek lion, fire-breathing lion chimera. But chimeras of the sea include ghost sharks, which are not actually sharks. They are related to sharks, but the name kind of stuck. These things are creepy looking. They have these long fins out to the side, and they kind of have like this weird nose shape. And I think the sex organs are on its head.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah. Yeah, talk about freaky.
It gave us the phrase going head to head a whole new meaning.
Yeah.
Be careful, guys. Next time you say I'm going head to head, make sure the person you're talking to knows you're not saying you're going to have sex.
Make sure it's not a ghost shark that you're
saying. Or if your sex organs are on your head,
feel free to use that however you want.
Then
maybe you're
own it. Own it.
Rick and Morty multiverse.
Yeah,
that sounds like something that Justin Roiland would come up with. Like penis heads.
Has he pulled up any half goofas?
He has not. But the ghost shark, I encourage everyone to go look up the chimera ghost shark. Because if you type in ghost shark, there's another species that's actually a shark that'll come up first. But if you type in chimera ghost shark, this thing is creepy. Its eyes glow green when exposed to light because it lives in basically like the black of the bottom of the ocean.
Oh, so it's bioluminescent.
Yeah, so when its eyes are exposed to sunlight, they glow green. And it has this long like whip tail. It's just a creepy looking thing.
That sounds cool. Everything sounds cooler if you add Chimera to the front.
Yeah, but he's pulled
I'm
up
not
other
crusty,
things.
I'm Chimera crusty.
He's pulled up 8-legged arthropods. Like they're like these orange like spider looking things.
Oh, great.
They're really creepy.
You like spiders, don't you?
I love spiders. Yeah. Okay. He's pulled up anglerfish.
He's hauling it all. He's pulling it all up.
You've seen an anglerfish, right?
Yeah, that's the one with the little dangly light.
Yeah,
kind of
like the little trap.
Finding Nemo.
Yeah, Finding Nemo. And then he's pulled up a variety of clear, like gelatinous looking, like blob type things.
Any globsters?
I'm assuming he's pulled up a couple globsters. And then he's found like these like really bright, intensely blue starfish. They're beautiful. So those aren't monsters. But
that's cool.
I mean, it's very, very fascinating to see some of these things that look like, you know, something from fiction, but they're real. And for
sometimes
some reason, a lot of this stuff
is stranger than fiction, as they say.
Yeah, exactly. But it's interesting. I find that a lot of these weirder things from the ocean are found kind of around the Arctic or around Antarctica. Like,
yeah.
There's a lot of weird stuff found down there.
Totally different ecosystem from what
most
fishermen operate in.
Mm-hmm. And like these things that live at the bottom of the ocean up there too. Like they must live. It's got to be incredibly cold. So they like have adapted to live in these environments in the pitch black. It's just fascinating that things out there like that actually exist. And
yeah, and one thing that I've thought about is we're really intent on exploring outer space, mm-hmm. and you know, Mars, and we kind of haven't finished exploring the Earth.
No,
you know,
not
if you
not
could
by
send
a, long
a
shot.
If you can send a shuttle with you know with a rover or whatever to Mars, let's get cracking on whatever's at the bottom of the ocean.
Yeah, on the 95% of the ocean we have yet to discover. Why don't we figure that one out, Elon Musk?
Yeah.
Before we go to Mars.
We're talking to you, Musk.
He's sending his Tesla to Mars, but the ocean is still undiscovered. But
yeah, whatever. Send your Tesla to the bottom of the ocean, Elon
yeah,
Musk.
Where it belongs.
Sleeping with the fishes.
Actually, I would very much like to own a Tesla, so I take that back. Elon, if you are looking to just give away a few.
Elon, Wes Anderson too, Steve Buscemi, all our heroes.
Yeah.
Christopher yeah. Walken.
No, Elon, if you're looking out to send a few Teslas as yeah, just like a gift, I'll take one. So I didn't mean what I
but
said.
But if you're not Elon Musk, if you're just a regular Joe or a regular Sally or whoever you are, if you've got something you want to send our way, if it's a story, if you just want to plug your stuff, let us plug your stuff.
Yeah, we'll
put it out yeah, there. We'll put it out there. Yeah, I'll definitely see about putting those pictures up on the website from
yeah,
the
you should.
Trip.
I want to put up. We also have a Facebook now, everybody.
Yeah, we're on all the interwebs now.
Yeah, we've given in to the Zuck's divine will.
Old Zuck.
Yeah, but I don't really like Facebook particularly. I haven't used it in many years. I don't have.
I feel like
Facebook
account lately wastes the most time without really. Giving anything
yeah,
back.
It doesn't. You don't
on
get
Instagram, you can see
it.
Cool pictures of stuff.
Yeah.
You can keep up to date with what people are doing.
Yeah. Facebook is just, I don't know. But we've got one. So I think I want to use Facebook as like a way that JR and I, we can like post cool articles, things that we're interested in. We might post funny videos, like from YouTube, something like that. Just a way to connect
with
you guys.
We
want to
lure you deeper into the dog web.
Yeah. Just a way to connect with you guys in a very goofy, informal way, kind of like we do with the podcast. Just post,
yes.
like, you know, introduce you guys to some cool things, interesting things.
Give out free salt rock lamps.
Possibly.
We'll start by giving away the one we have right now.
Hey, that's my wife's.
Freaking me out.
You don't own that. That's my wife's.
Okay.
Thank you, my wife, for letting me use it. But, yeah, so.
R.I.P.
So, find us on Facebook, Men Biting Dogs. We
shoot us an email on the website,
yeah.
the folks
email
at menbitingdogspodcast.com.
Check us out on Instagram.
Also, we can give you advice on how to avoid sea monsters. If you're specifically looking to get, if your fetish is getting eaten by a sea monster, we might be able to help with that too.
Yeah.
Whatever kind of advice you might be curious about. We can't promise you good advice, but we can promise you we'll give it some serious thought.
Yeah. So.
So get back at us.
That's sea monsters, baby.
Show us your inner sea monster. Stay globbing with the globsters. Yeah, stay half goofing. Just do your thing.
Yeah, and don't forget to get home safe, everybody.